The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. I suppose the gospel reading of Martha and Mary could be one of those gospel passages not only popular, not only well known, but perhaps could also be classified as somewhat delightful. It's one, it's brief, we know the story, Jesus isn't really admonishing anybody, but there are so many ramifications connected to this particular gospel in terms of the life of the Christian and the follower of Christ, where we see the virtue of hospitality and the virtue of attentiveness to prayer. Which is the more important of the two, with neither being totally neglected outright? Of course, nowadays, I hear a lot of pious, sanctimonious cliches of, well, Father, someone had to fix the meal. Okay, but that little detail wasn't exactly brought out in the story, so we don't worry too much about it. But we make the distinction between Martha and Mary. And throughout the church's history, in its spiritual life, this has been an important gospel. In the distinction of the healthy balance between work and prayer, as distinct from idleness. We see the example of Martha as being one of work, but at the same time distracted. And we see Mary being the one attentive to Jesus. And we as Catholics, at least in our Christian approach to spirituality and how we live, don't see it so much as an either-or, but a both-and. And it's perhaps that Jesus is not so much downplaying the importance of what Martha is doing, but perhaps addressing the tendency of neglecting the prayer because we are so preoccupied with work. How many here, and feel free to raise your hand if you want, can say they are preoccupied with prayer? No, keep them up so I can count. But how many here could say they are preoccupied with work? Much more widespread. So it's not so much a, Father, someone had to make the meal, but what is Jesus addressing in the spiritual life of his followers and his people and continues to address to us today? It became a model for the monastic life. Many of the fathers of the monastic life, culminating in Saint Benedict and his rule, that balance between work and prayer. Each day, you look at any group of monastics, they have the work that they do during the day and the time of prayer that they do as a community each day, the different hours of the day, the morning prayer, the daytime hours, vespers, compline, and so on, where they come together and either as chant or recitation, they pray, which we priests pray, the Liturgy of the Hours. Hopefully many people in the Catholic Church pray it. But the Liturgy of the Hours grew out of the hours of the day that the monastics would come together and pray. But there were also times of the day in which they did their work. And it is in the work of the monasteries that we see so many advancements during the so-called Dark Ages, but they're realizing weren't all that dark, because the work of husbandry, the work of metallurgy, the work of farming. I mean, if you were a lord and you wanted to donate some land to a monastery, would you give them your best land? No, you'd give them the swampy land. You'd give them the rocky land. And the monks learned to work that land. And there were many advancements, both in science and farming and other industries and technologies that we saw because of the work that was done in these monasteries, but it was also balanced with prayer. But even during the times of work, There is always at least one monk in the chapel praying, giving up his time of work to make sure there's always someone in the chapel at all times praying. And of course, they would rotate, giving up some of their time of work. And so we see in that the emphasis of what Jesus is saying in today's gospel. Mary has chosen the better part, the part we should not neglect. And we see that in the life of the monks. Now, of course, in case you hadn't noticed, we're not all monks. Even me, I'm not even a religious priest. I'm a secular priest. I'm a diocesan priest. We work in the world. I won't say the real world, because the monastery is just as real as everywhere else in the world. And when you ponder the presence and activity of God, the monasteries may very well be more real world, because there's nothing more real than God. How's that for a little bit of pondering? But we live in the world, the surrounding world, the world that is very busy, the world that has many distractions, the world that has many temptations. And we are called in the same vein to be a people of that balance, not being idle, but being people who live and work productively, but not being people who are so consumed by it that we are in fact enslaved by it, which is why God commands us, he gifts it to us, but he actually also commands us to take a day of rest, a day in which we don't work, a day that reflects the freedom we are called as children of God. So while we live productive lives of work, we are not so consumed by it as to be enslaved by it. And that's the essence of the command. You must keep holy the Lord's day. 6 days you may work, but on the seventh day, which for us is Sunday, you take a day of rest. And then we take some of that day to come and worship God in the Mass and receive the body and blood of his Son in the Eucharist. But on the other hand, what do we see in our world today? I mean, you look around you. We're doing pretty well this week, I have to admit. Obviously, people are coming back from vacation. We're seeing a few more people in the church than we have over the last month or so. But it could be more. And we know it could be more. Why do we see, especially among Catholics, such a dearth of people coming together to worship God, even for just an hour a week? To take that time, like Mary, to be attentive to the Word of God, to let Jesus nourish us with his Eucharist. What's the most common phrase we hear? We're too busy. Just ask the kids. You know they aren't coming up with that themselves. They hear it at home. We're too busy. Think about it. Too busy to take a day of rest. A command, yes. A gift, definitely. It's almost too bad it's not the kind of gift that can be rammed down our throats, whether we want it or not. But how many people choose not to take that rest, and in their busy, busy lives are distracted from the time of prayer we are all called to engage in, and the people of worship we're all called to be. And to that, in our busy, busy world today, Jesus himself might say, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and concerned and worried about many things. Even in our lives at home, do we just confine prayer to the church, in which we live in such a busy world that there are a good many people? Oftentimes we use it as a point of joking about it. The number of people who are so busy that they arrive late for Mass and think nothing of it. And once they receive communion, they make a beeline for the door. Or once that blessing occurs, before the first note of the closing hymn is even struck, they're out the door. Why? They have other places to go and other things to do. Are they taking the time to listen to God and give God his worship in the midst of a day of rest? Or simply marking time to fulfill an obligation? But even at home, how do we balance that time of prayer with the work we are called to do in building up the home, which is the vocation of most people? We're not monks, but most are called to be families, the heads of families. And I'll be the first to tell you, I realize it, I understand. I may not have kids of my own, but I do have parents. I do come from a family. Parenthood is not a contemplative vocation. But do we take that time to pray with your children? I know a family that had children of varying ages from college to 7 when last I visited them during a trip. Every night before the youngest one retired, they would gather as a family and pray. And a great deal of it was just sitting still quietly and talking about their day and giving thanks to God, ending with an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. Not just simply reciting words of prayers, but teaching their children to stop and take. I would join them. It would be about 15 to 20 minutes each night as they were ending the day. Then the youngest one would go to bed. The older ones would go finish homework or do the things they were doing. Mom and Dad afterwards would walk around the block praying the rosary together. They said it would get them through the rosary once, just walking slowly around the block. But this was the habit that this particular family had, to be a family that fosters a sense of prayer, of stopping from their distractions. But also, even those who come here to spend time of prayer in the church, I know people who like to spend a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament. We're used to reciting prayers, but how often do we ever try sitting and just being present to God? We're Catholics. Hopefully we all have a crucifix in the home, an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We come to the church. We have the crucifix, the tabernacle, the altar, and so on. We have the stained glass windows. Things we can focus on just to simply meditate. A passage in Scripture. A prayer we heard at Mass. Words of the prayers we're used to saying. Not just reciting the rosary, but sitting and listening and stopping. And in this day and age, we have a very easy way to get through that. We have our cell phones. We have even maybe smartphones, all of which have timers on them. And I always like to encourage people, begin with just 10 minutes. Sit before the crucifix at home, hit the timer, and lose yourself in the timelessness of prayer. Let the timer let you know when that period is done. But just focus on the words of prayer that you're meditating, the words of Scripture you may have just read. You might begin that period with it. Words of the homily that you might have heard the priest say that morning or that week at Mass. Or just something spiritual that struck you that particular day. Even just what I mentioned a few minutes ago. Life in the monastery is more real than the rest of the world because they're focusing on God and doing the work of God, who's the most real thing we know. And let that timer tell you when that meditation is done. And then over time, increase it. I've done it up to a half hour. And I know it's not easy. Because Martha, Martha, we are anxious and distracted and worried about many things. But in this very familiar gospel, let us hear Christ direct us. We're not called to be idle. We do live in a very busy, busy world. We're not called to neglect our world, but to build up our families, to come together and work and build up our parish community, to build up the society in which we live by the work that we do. But we're also called to be people of prayer. Let us resolve to take those small steps to grow in that, the better part that Mary engaged in. The better part that Mary engaged in. Because we know we are not distracted by our prayer. We are distracted in our prayer, to sometimes to the point of neglecting our prayer. Let us hear Jesus not just addressing Martha, but addressing each one of us. And see in the example of Mary, not just an example of verbal speaking prayer, but of listening and being attentive to the presence of God in our midst. And take that challenge to grow with our families, grow with our own selves, to more and more be people who know how to stop from our busy world and its endless distractions, to be attentive to Christ, not just in words, but in our listening, in moments and growth in prayer.